There are so many Americans right now that are being forced to deal with a really tough issue of vaccine mandates by their companies. What are your rights? How do you fight back? How do you get a religious exemption? We are going to be joined in just a moment by the managing attorney for the Liberty Justice Center that is going to explain to you what your constitutional rights are, how to fight for religious exemption, if you're denied a religious exemption, what you do, how important it is to fill out your paperwork the right way for a religious exemption, and how do you organize with people that you work with. Why are we doing this? So hopefully we can stop hearing these tragic stories that we are witnessing. A veteran police officer has gone viral. He has been fired because of the vaccine mandate, refusing to get that vaccine. He had his final sign-off from the radio. This is happening all over the country. Listen.
This is my final sign-off. After 22 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, being asked to leave because I am dirty. Numerous fatalities, injuries. I've worked sick. I've played sick. We've buried lots of friends over these years. I'd like to thank you guys. I'd like to thank the citizens of Yakima County, as well as my fellow officers within the valley. Without you guys, I wouldn't have been very successful, and you've kept me safe and got me home to my family every night. Thank you for that. Wish I could say more, but this is it. So State 1034, this is the last time you'll hear me in a state patrol car. And Jay Inslee can kiss my ass.
Jay Inslee, the governor of the state where this veteran police officer who has given his entire life. And I played that there for you because I think it's important for you to hear what he said. That police officer then dropped his handset in his police car, his final sign-off, and had this to say afterwards to the camera that he was using to film it.
Thank you for your 22 years and 5 months of service to the citizens of Washington State. You've taken on many roles in your time with the patrol. In your first year, you delivered a baby while on patrol in Bremerton. You've been a DRE instructor, certified technical specialist, and reconstructionist, peer support member, part of the chaplaincy board, and a CBD trooper. You have been a great role model and mentor for all young troopers serving in the area by sharing your knowledge and experience throughout the years. Thank you for your service. 1906.
Thank you for your service. You can hear the people responding that have worked with this man for 2 decades plus. This is a man that just wants to serve his community, who's lost his job because of a government overreach and a mandate. Now, that state trooper I just played for you is not the only one that is losing his job right now or has lost their job because of this mandate. And you had to get vaccinated under Governor Inslee's vaccine mandate by the 18th. Another Washington State Patrol officer, in response to Governor Inslee's vaccine mandate, used his radio to sign off as well. He's been fired.
Due to my personal choice to take a moral stand against for medical freedom and personal choice, I will be signing out of service for the last time today. After nearly 17 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, it has been my honor and privilege to work alongside all of you. I want to take a moment to thank those that have helped me be successful, to be safe, and to go home every day. At the end of each shift, to hear the ripping of that Velcro is a relief to my wife and kids. I want to admonish each of you, knowing that despite what the press releases and the news conferences are saying to downplay this role, we all know in this district, on the 19th, there will be 51 of the 75 troopers available, and only 7 of the 11 sergeants. So please, 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 take care of each other. So please, take care of each other. Be safe, and make sure you all go home at the end of each day. Again, thank you to each and every one of you that have stood alongside me and that we have helped each other out. But as for me, I am out of service and on to new adventures.
on behalf of your D5 coworkers, I want to say you've been a pleasure to work with for the last almost 17 years. You've accomplished great things here and built amazing friendships along the way. You've led your crew in DYRS year after year, been an FTO, a DRE, and peer support member, and most recently made sergeant last year. This agency is losing an outstanding, hardworking, determined, and caring individual. I'm honored to have been your dispatcher, but mostly proud to be your wife. Our future is bright. Thank you so much for your service, 110.
And thank you for yours, and for being by my side.
I want you to imagine being that husband and making that call to the radio dispatcher who's your wife, because that's what just happened. I get choked up because I have family that's worked in law enforcement, and no one that dials 911 that needs this police officer or his wife gives a crap if they're vaccinated or not. No one's calling 911 when they're under attack, when they're being raped, when they're being assaulted, when their back door or front door is being kicked in, when they're being carjacked, when their business is being robbed, and says, please only send a police officer who is vaccinated. When you dial 911 and you talk to a dispatcher, you're not asking that dispatcher if they are vaccinated. That is a man quitting his job or being fired. A man that is being fired and having to tell his wife it's his last radio call. You have a man and a woman serving their state, and we're firing them because of a crazed governor and a leftist group of individuals, starting at the top with Joe Biden, who are obsessed with controlling every aspect of your life.
Again, thank you to each and every one of you that have stood alongside me and that we have helped each other out. But as for me, I am out of service and on to new adventures.
On behalf of your D5 coworkers, I want to say you've been a pleasure to work with for the last almost 17 years. You've accomplished great things here and built amazing friendships along the way. You've led your crew in DYRS year after year, been an FTO, a DRE, and peer support member, and most recently made sergeant last year. This agency is losing an outstanding, hardworking, determined, and caring individual. I'm honored to have been your dispatcher, but mostly proud to be your wife. Our future is bright. Thank you so much for your service, 110.
Our future is bright. This is a woman and a man. And I do get choked up. This is a woman and a man who have served their community, and we are allowing them to be fired because they won't get a vaccine. God help our society. There are men and women all over the country right now that this is happening to. There are men and women who are being fired as we speak, who are serving and protecting us because of government overreach. The White House says Biden not wearing a mask at a restaurant was just a moment in time, and to calm down, you don't wear a mask, they'll shut down your restaurant. Jen Psaki brushing off that video of Biden violating the D.C. mask mandate. Don't overly focus, she says, on a moment in time. Because remember, they're different than you are. Can they fire you? Yes. Can they ruin your life, your family's life? Yes. Do they have a problem? Do they have any soul? No, they don't. These are good men and women who are being fired. It's not just the police officers, it's others. Washington State just fired their head football coach, four assistants, for refusing the jab. They're heroes, by the way. We better hurry up and stand up, folks. Now, the question is, how do you fight back? There have been a lot of you that have been reaching out and asking about your rights. What are your rights? What are your religious rights? How do you fight back when someone comes in and tells you, you either get this vaccine or you will be unemployed? We will fire you. And if we fire you, many of you won't even be eligible for unemployment benefits. One of you just sent me this note. I know I should have been investigating this earlier, but no one else has refused besides me. And so I really don't know what to do, referring to refusing to get vaccinated at work. I'm wondering about what others are doing. From Googling it, it sounds like everyone is getting denied their religious exemptions. So how do you even get a religious exemption? And many businesses, it seems like, are just saying automatic no's to religious exemptions. Joining me now to talk about your rights is a man that works for the Liberty Justice Center. They just filed a case on behalf of six nurses in Illinois who were required to get vaccinated or lose their jobs. All religious or conscience exemptions requests have been denied. The nurses sued the hospital for the blanket denial of religious vaccine exemptions. The man who's working on this, Daniel Sir, is the managing attorney for the Liberty Justice Center. Daniel, I appreciate you coming on. I've got a lot of questions. So I want to start with the basic premise. Explain to everyone that is listening right now, what are your rights, everybody's rights, when it comes to requesting a religious exemption? Let's start with that.
Yeah, absolutely, Ben, and thanks for having me on the program this morning. And I'm glad you have, because it's such an important topic. The sanctity of conscience is one of our fundamental rights as Americans. There's a reason that, you know, religious liberty comes at the beginning of the First Amendment. It's something that we value as a society, and it's something that we should expect not only our government, but also our employers to respect, because nobody should have to choose between their job and their faith. And so for all of us across the country, there's a federal law called Title VII, and it says that your employer has to make reasonable accommodations of your religious faith. And so it's being litigated in courts right now across the country to ask this question of how reasonable accommodation works in a vaccine context. And I think what's most important is that they have to make an individualized assessment of what's reasonable in your situation. All of us work in a different environment, and so it might be for a particular person's job that wearing a mask or working from home or working a different shift, like there are lots of different ways that people can reasonably stay safe and at the same time keep their job without compromising their beliefs.
I'll give you an example of another question I got asked. Was there was an employee at a hospital in Alabama. She doesn't go to the hospital anymore. She does billing and collections from home. She hasn't been in the hospital now in almost 2 years. She is now being mandated to get a vaccine. She will get fired from her job, even though she doesn't even work at the hospital. She has applied for a religious exemption, and it was immediately denied. What is the next course of action for someone like that?
Yeah, that's an important question, and it's a sad story, right? This just shows, I think, the craziness that some employers have just been swept up in that's really going across our society, this overreach that they feel like they can dictate these things to people, and they can't, and they shouldn't. Everybody should have a right to keep their faith and their job, and for someone like that, you know, I would encourage them to reach out to legal counsel. We're Liberty Justice Center. Our website's libertyjusticecenter.org. Again, that's libertyjusticecenter.org. But there are a lot of other organizations doing great work in this space. on behalf of religious liberty and the rights of conscience for individuals, but you should reach out to a nonprofit organization that believes in religious liberty. Tell your story. I'll warn you, there are lots of these cases coming in right now, but I think that is just indicative of how important it is for really the Supreme Court eventually to take one of these cases and set down a national rule that clarifies and reinforces the rights of conscience.
Well, let's talk about United for a second. Six brave employees there decided to sue with their vaccine mandates. They got a judge who did basically a pause while they kind of worked through this so that they wouldn't lose their jobs or be forced to get a vaccine by the arbitrary date that was set by the company. And it just took six brave people to do this. You look at these six people that you guys are representing now, these six nurses in Illinois who were required to get a vaccine or lose their jobs. You guys are representing them now. What is happening with that case? And it seems like if you just lawyer up, there's a very good chance that a court is going to say, pause, hold on a second. We're gonna work through this in the appropriate manner and not just say you're going to get fired by January the 2nd or June 3rd or whatever the date is. You get my point.
I do, Ben. And I think it's important, you know, it highlights the fact that we're acting like this is a crisis, that it has to be resolved tomorrow. And the reality is we've had vaccines for months now. We've been living in this pandemic for months now. And so the idea that all of a sudden President Biden says on September 9th, we're going to have employer mandates, and yet his own administration has not issued the rule that is supposedly an emergency over a month later, which I think really just betrays that they want these companies to do the dirty work so the companies get sued, rather than having us sue the federal government, which is where the real problem starts in terms of this massive overreach into people's lives. But for our nurses, I represent six wonderful nurses at Riverside Hospital in Kankakee, Illinois. They have been on the front lines of this pandemic, day in and day out, showing up to serve patients for the last 20 months, and their hospital is going to throw all of that aside because they are unwilling to compromise their convictions. That's not just wrong, it's illegal. And this is one of those moments where the law protects people like these nurses so they don't have to choose between their faith and their job.
It is amazing to me how many people are losing their jobs because of these push-in dates and that are being pushed on them. Yesterday, we saw a significant number in Seattle of police officers there that resigned. They resigned and made their last radio call, some of them after 18 years, 21 years, because of the vaccine mandates. We're seeing this happen all over the country where people are being forced. Is there any way to get those jobs back after you quit?
So the law allows for a judge to order reinstatement. So it's certainly possible. But I really admire all of these people who are standing up for their rights. I mean, let's just be honest, Ben. It's hard to choose between, you know, to be in this situation. It's coercive pressure that people are feeling. And to stand up for your rights, even when it's hard, even when it's unpopular, to seek out a lawyer and potentially file a case. Like, these are important, major life choices, but I think it reflects just how deeply and how sincerely people hold these beliefs, people hold these convictions, and those are precisely the sort of convictions we as a society should give the most respect and the law protects.
Daniel, I want to go back to an important question. So many people want to know, when you apply for a religious exemption, do you or should you get the ability to present your case in person, or is it just through writing? Because there's a lot of people that I have talked to that said they don't feel like the paperwork gives a personality to their claim, to their case, and they're just filling out paperwork and then they're getting back denied in an email. And they're like, I didn't meet with anybody. I didn't get to talk to anybody. What are your rights when it comes to even getting to vocally explain your reasoning behind requesting a religious exemption?
It's a great question, and I wish I could give you a clear answer. I would say that there's certainly a best practice that employers should hear people out, not just through the paper, but through a conversation. I know many employers do, but for those employers who don't, it is certainly a best practice. I think the touchstones of this sort of analysis from the employer's perspective, if I'm a lawyer for a company, I'm really looking at three questions. The first is this person sincere? You know, we're in a moment right now in our culture where I think employers feel this media story that there are a lot of insincere claims of religious exemption, and so they want to make sure that the claim is sincere. And, you know, it's helpful to be able to explain in your own words, you know, why your faith leads you to this conviction. The second question is, what's the burden on the employer? You know, is this the sort of thing that's going to create real headaches for the employer? And I think outside of the healthcare context, you know, common sense would say no, but obviously, you know, everybody's in a different situation. And then the third and equally important question, and I think really why an individualized assessment of each employee is important, is to ask, what are the reasonable accommodations that can be made? Are there any adjustments here? Can we physically, socially distance?
I was going to say, let's talk about that. What is when you say a reasonable accommodation, one, explain that right, please, and two, then layman's terms, even more so, how that is, what that looks like in the real world.
I think it's common sense. I mean, the reality is we've all been living unvaccinated through at least a large part of the pandemic because there was no vaccine, right? And so we put in place the procedures that could best accommodate, could best protect people, knowing that there was this virus on the loose. And so we've seen with our own eyes, with common sense, that through physical distancing, through hand washing, through even some more significant kind of changes in our routines like telework, there are simple common sense steps we can take to minimize risk. And so I think of your example earlier, Ben, your caller who, you know, works from home. If you're that person and you're not going into a work setting, like that seems like an incredibly strong case for a reasonable accommodation. And it's important because that's unique to you, because your situation is yours alone, that employers perform this sort of individualized assessment to figure out, you know, how can we work with you in a reasonable, common sense way to keep your coworkers safe and keep you safe, while still respecting your religious belief.
Let's talk about if you are listening right now and you say, I'm not religious, right? I'm not one that is going, I'm not agnostic or I don't really believe in God. There could be 100 different scenarios, but I think I painted that picture pretty clear, my point. You're not a religious person. Everybody knows you're not a religious person. What are your options if it goes against your conscience? Because you don't have to be religious to have a conscience or say no, right? Maybe you feel like because you've already gotten COVID-19 or the Delta variant that you shouldn't be forced to get that vaccine because you already have some sort of some capacity of natural immunity at this point because you've already been infected. Maybe I'll give you another example. A listener said, she lost her job because she was pregnant, refused to get the vaccine while pregnant. Another person contacted us. They were going through in vitro, lost their job because her doctor actually said, the in vitro doctor said, I don't want you taking the vaccine right now while we're going through in vitro. Lost her job because the date came and it left, and bam, both of them are now unemployed.
It just breaks your heart, doesn't it, Ben? I mean, it just is so heartbreaking to hear these stories and meet these clients and see what this is doing to our society, that people cannot respect the rights of others, and they should. So let me answer your particular question. The law that, for instance, I've sued under in Illinois is entitled the Healthcare Rights of Conscience Act. And you're absolutely right that for some people, conscience is a faith commitment. It's a religious commitment. But for other people, it's an ethical system. It's a set of moral convictions. And for instance, the Illinois law protects people whose moral commitments come from something other than faith, in the same way that it protects people's religious commitments. So I think it's important that we focus on this sort of sincerely held belief, that it needs to be a deep conviction, but that the law should respect, and employers should respect people who hold these beliefs, and not put them in these sort of impossible, coercive positions. And I just have so much respect for people who hold on to their convictions, knowing the cost, right? That losing your job is a big deal. And when you believe something so deeply, so sincerely, that you're not willing to compromise it, that you're willing to be that police officer who signs off after 20 years, it's just incredibly humbling and just proud of people like that. And I just hope that we can stand up for them, that we can fight back in court and win some of these cases.
So no doubt.
Nobody else is put in that kind of position.
I'm on the clock. My employer has put me on the clock. They're listening to the Biden administration on these mandates, and they put me on the clock. I now have days, not months, not even weeks anymore, to make a decision or get fired. If you are one of those individuals who is facing that stopwatch that's been started by your employer, what are the, give them the steps in order, if you can, of what they need to do first, second, and third to try to stand up for themselves.
So I think it's really important to connect with an attorney. Obviously, the sooner the better. When you do so, it's helpful to have whatever paperwork that you have been given around your case as possible, right? So just take a minute to line up. Here are the emails that I've received from my company. Here are the documents that I submitted explaining my religious belief. Here's the denial or the appeal letter that I've sent. If you can go to an attorney with those things in a folder, I can't tell you how much easier you make our life. And when days matter, when we're on a clock, it's really helpful to have those basic pieces of evidence lined up on the front end. And then often I think employers are sometimes at least reasonable, maybe not all of them, but we refer to it as litigation by letterhead, right? Like sometimes just getting a letter from an attorney saying that I represent this person and I'm worried that their rights are being violated and we don't want to have to sue you, will cause an employer to take a second look at a situation because their calculus changes. Right now, for a lot of employers, they feel like we'd better deny all of these exemption requests because we don't want to get sued because somebody gets COVID at work. Now, all of a sudden, they're thinking, man, I don't want to get sued if I deny this request because this person has a sincerely held religious belief. So sometimes that can be solved just by being represented and letting the employer know you're serious. But ultimately, sometimes it means you have to go to court and file a case. And I think judges have been good about recognizing, let's put a pause, like you were giving an example earlier, Ben. Let's put in a pause, let's figure out the law, and let's not force anybody out of their job without giving full consideration to their legal rights.
Where do you get these attorneys? Another question that has been asked, and that is, okay, do I need somebody locally? Do I Google it? Do I call a large organization like yours at Liberty Justice Center? And then how are you guys finding the attorney in our state, you know, where I'm calling from?
Yeah, great question. Very practical and very important, because I know, as you say, people are on the clock. So there are national organizations. Mine is libertyjusticecenter.org, but there are other great organizations in this space. I'll say that, you know, there are a lot of people reaching out right now to groups like mine, and they want to help. We want to be helpful. But obviously, really what I think we need to do, not just as a conservative legal movement, but as a country, is get some major precedent set to get big cases decided in important courts, at state Supreme Courts, at regional courts of appeals, ultimately at the U.S. Supreme Court, so we can bring clarity. But I know that that's a multi-month process. And if you're on the clock today, I think reaching out to a local attorney who does employment law is an equally good option. There are plenty of great attorneys who specialize in employment law. And ultimately, this is we call it Title VII as attorneys. For most people on most states, there's either going to be a federal Title VII law, or there'll be some state religious liberty or right of conscience act that's going to be the go-to for the attorney. And there'll be a person in your state who knows that and should be able to help you.
Another question that has come in, and that is I think another, you know, important logistical question. What about retaliation? There have been several people that have asked that. I'm worried mostly about retaliation. And do I need to get power in numbers? Do I need to recruit other people and we go to an attorney together? Or is my case sufficient enough? What do these attorneys want? Groups like you, do you want 5, 6, 10, 15 employees that work in the same place that have all been denied their religious exemptions?
So it's a very fact kind of specific, but I would say generally, yes, yes, and yes. By which I mean, if you can just stand up and it's just you, that's all it takes, right? Like we started the show, Ben. 6 employees at a huge global company like United were enough to get a case started. So if it's just you and you are ready to stand up and insist on your rights, like, good for you, and it can be done. But especially, I think you're right, Ben, for this feeling of retaliation, knowing that it's illegal, right? Employers can't retaliate in other ways against employees, but it's still a legitimate concern when they exercise their legal rights. If you can come in as a group, that's great. And it's powerful, not just in the courtroom, but in the court of public opinion, to see people standing up and standing together, right? The coach and his 4 assistant coaches that we just heard about in the news break, standing together. The only caution that comes with that is the more people you add to a case, the more complexity you add. And so if it's the sort of thing where there was just blanket denials, then having lots of people is good. But you probably heard me earlier say we need an individualized assessment. If they've gone through individualized assessments and then made denial, it's not necessarily wise to sue as a group, because, you know, hopefully those assessments were truly individualized and they just came to the wrong answer. But when in doubt, I think coming as a group is great, but not necessary.
2 more questions for you, and one of them is dealing with states' rights. You see what Florida and Tucson, they have recently said you can't have mandates on your employees in your states. They believe they're going to win on a states' rights issue. Your reaction to that, and are those states getting it right, and should others be advocating for them to do the same thing in their state?
Absolutely. Good for Florida, good for Texas. One of our kind of core foundational principles as a constitutional republic is that the federal government is one of limited powers, and state governments are where policy decisions affecting people's everyday lives should be made. And public health is one of those policies that has historically been committed to the states. There's a reason that all of these orders we've seen reacting to COVID, all the shutdown orders, all these sorts of things, they came from governors and not from the president. And that's because it's governors who have this power in our system. And that's the power both to regulate and the power to ensure freedom, like they're doing in Florida and Texas. And so when the president comes in with these sweeping nationwide mandates, like this forthcoming OSHA mandate, that is a violation of the way our system is built. It is illegal. As soon as the Biden administration issues it, they are going to get sued. We are going to be one of the people who sue them, and I think they are going to lose. They deserve to lose because our constitutional system is based on states as the center for policy like this, and when the federal government overreaches, courts are going to stop it. We saw it already with the eviction moratorium. I think we're going to see the same thing play out with this OSHA mandate.
Last question for you, and I just got this from someone who has already been fired from their job. They want to know, what are their rights, and is there a chance to get their job back? They did reply for two different exemptions. First was conscientious, that was denied, then religious, that was denied, and they have been fired because they weren't fully vaccinated by the deadline. Is there any way to fight that, or is the damage already been done, you got to move on with your life?
Obviously, for starters, I'm sorry. Whoever that listener is right now, like, I'm sorry you were ever put in that place. And equally, like, props to you for sticking by your beliefs, even when it costs a lot. You know, I'll just say personally, like, the Bible promises us there's going to be persecution in this world. And for a lot of people right now, that is what they're feeling. But just respect for sticking by your beliefs. So wearing my lawyer hat, I'll say you can certainly still talk to an attorney. You certainly still have rights. And even if you've been fired, if that's you, the employment attorney can still help. And even if you can't get your job back, you'll be entitled to monetary damages if your employer acted illegally. So don't give up hope. Don't give up the fight. There's still recourse for someone whose religious rights have been violated. And it's impossible to say you're not sincere. Right. If you went all the way to accepting termination because you were going to stick by your beliefs, that's the best proof of all that you are sincere in them. And that should count for a lot in court.
Daniel, I appreciate your time. Daniel, sir, managing attorney for Liberty Justice Center, for so many that are going to hear this. One, please share it. We'll have it. Obviously, the podcast is the easiest way for you to share this audio. How can they get in touch with you and get information that may help them as they move through this process from you guys?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Ben. Thanks for caring about the Constitution and your listeners and the rights of conscience. We've got to band together in this moment as people who believe in freedom. We have to stick together. We have to stand up for our rights. You can start as a listener. Just go to libertyjusticecenter.org. It's libertyjusticecenter.org. We love liberty. We love justice. So that's what we do every day. And reach out to our team, connect to get help. But equally, there are other great attorneys out there at other great groups, or even just in your local community who specialize in employment law. But don't just accept it. Stand up for your rights. Fight back, and we can stop this kind of coercion. We can stop this kind of overreach, because fundamentally it violates who we are as Americans.
Daniel, again, thank you for coming on, and I will say this. Every one of you that wants to help other Americans right now that may be losing their jobs, please send them a link to this podcast so that they know how you can fight back and what your rights are. So if you'll help more Americans see this, that is only going to help us organize and fight back. And I will see you back here tomorrow.